Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get three-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's ride.
For the words that are recited before each and every game here at Dodger Stadium, take it away, Finn.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
What's going on, Incline Dodgers listeners? Hope you're having a nice week. This is Kevin Klein speaking. Your Los Angeles Dodgers are coming off a fresh sweep of the Boston Red Sox. We'll talk about that series. I'm joined by Dusty Baker today, friend of the show. Glad to have him on. It's been a while. Dusty, what's new and how you doing?
It's so good to be back here. I was just telling you right before this, just absolute chaos what our coverage has been like out here. I live in Kentucky. Obviously, grew up a Dodgers fan, grew up in Southern California, and then covered the Dodgers while I was in Texas for the World Series run, and also in San Luis Obispo, covered them while I was out there before moving out here. But still, obviously, very close tabs with this team, and more importantly, what a crazy time it's been. And the nice thing is, when I work here in Kentucky, we're on the Eastern time zone, so I usually get off work around midnight, and the Dodgers are in around the fourth, fifth inning. So I end up getting a chance to still see about 90 to 95% of the games. And then I go back and rewatch them and analyze it. So that's been nice. But when you have to cover Scottie Scheffler rested, when you have to cover Kentucky Derby, when you have Louisville and Kentucky getting new college basketball coaches, that's been taking up a lot of my time. So needless to say, really happy to be talking Dodgers Blue right now.
Awesome. Well, we're glad to have you back on. What's up, chat? Quick shout out to everyone listening. Roy Estrada, Moose 1032, Javier T, Craig Osterberg, and appreciate you all and the kind words. Hit that like button and that subscribe button if you haven't yet. So your Los Angeles Dodgers swept the Red Sox. They're now 59-41. That puts them ahead of the Arizona Diamondbacks and the San Diego Padres, 8 games up for first place in the NL West. And if I'm doing my math correctly, we're officially 100 games into the 2024 regular season. Coming out of the All-Star break, the Dodgers were not playing their best ball. We talked about the Tiger series on our last episode and the implosions in those last two games. But let me turn the page over to Dusty now. So let's get your general thoughts on either this last series with the Tigers or this most recent series with the Red Sox and kind of your impressions of this play. And then I'll kind of break down these three games.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people were really wanting to count the Dodgers out after that Tigers series. And I think, you know, obviously as Dodgers fans internally, you want to see them win all 162. And the reality is that's just not going to happen, right? And so when you're on the road, I don't care if it's against the last place team or first place team, you're still on the road. And yeah, they looked very, very bad in that last couple of games there. I mean, it was a rough stretch, but they got the break they needed. They got some healthy guys that are going to come back. That's been a big issue for them, obviously. That's the storyline with this team has been just injury after injury. And then you go against a Boston Red Sox team that has been hot, right? That's a team that many have looked at as, wow, not only could they be a playoff team, but they might be good enough to kind of pull what we saw maybe from the 2022 Phillies and have a much deeper run with the kind of roster that they have, and maybe they're one or two moves away, and I still believe they are. And so what does that mean as to what we just saw this weekend? I think it's a testament to the fact that this team stepped up when they kind of probably did hear the noise. And on top of that, you know, you still have the injuries, right? Mookie Betts is out. You don't really get the help at leadoff, so Otani has to step up there. You get Austin Barnes hitting a home run. I mean, you're getting help from the entire lineup. Gavin Lux having himself a great weekend. Like, there are a lot of key points we could talk about here. But I think just to wrap up what we saw from, of course, heading into the All-Star break and out of the All-Star break, I think the Dodgers are going to be fine, man. And I will tell you, I've had panic attacks with this team in the past. I kind of saw what was coming last year. I had said it. Somebody got mad at me on Twitter about it. And then, of course, it blew up right in their face about that, that they unfortunately did what we kind of saw happen in the summer last year. This time around, man, this team is built and they just need to get healthy. And you can tell when they want to turn it up a notch or two notches, three notches, they can deliver. And they did that today with six home runs.
Yeah, coming into this series, I'm sure the Boston Red Sox viewed themselves as buyers. But after this series, I don't know, they might be turning a corner and we'll see where they're at about 10 days from now. They might end up being sellers. We'll see. But dating back to the first game, the Dodgers offense was just lifeless against Nick Pivetta. But then we got to the Red Sox bullpen and into the bottom of the eighth inning, the decision by Alex Cora was kind of bold to walk Will Smith to load the bases. And I kind of get it because Will Smith's been crushing lefties all season. But this is something that we've talked about kind of all offseason of why you want to put good hitters in front of Freddie Freeman. Because if you put him in a situation to drive in runs, more often than not, he's going to make you pay. And in this case, he made Alex Cora and the Boston Red Sox ultimately pay when he hit a grand slam to put the Dodgers up 4-1. Dusty, we kind of want to get your thoughts on what you've seen from Freddie Freeman and what that grand slam meant.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we always know that Freddie can step up in a big way. But to see him actually, you know, get the clutch hit that we want to see him get consistently, right? That's a big step. You know, I think a lot of people were kind of dogging on the Dodgers a little bit just based off of across the board, the big three not getting clutch hits. And you can't really dog them too much when one of the big three is out, right? But when Freddie steps up and he delivers the way that he did against a Red Sox bullpen that's pretty good, by the way, too. Brandon Bernardino, talented pitcher, usually pretty good lockdown against lefties, by the way. And Freddie taking that exactly where it was thrown and just going with the pitch. That's what you want to see from a hitter like him. And professional at bat, and more importantly, getting them rejuvenated. I think that was big, man. I think that helped kind of lead the Dodgers into some sort of momentum that maybe they were kind of lacking, especially going into the break. The only thing that I wish would change is we just need Kerncraft 400, right, to now play Zombie Nation. That's the only thing I want to see different. I need to bring that home run. That needs to play when home runs happen, because if that grand slam happens and you're hearing that stadium is even, you know, five times louder. But beside the point of that, I'm just super happy to see Freddie step up in a big way. And more importantly, when Mookie's out, it's got to be the Ohtani and Freddie and Smith show, right? Like, that's what it's got to be. So when your big hitters in the heart of the order are stepping up, that's a good sign, because once Mookie comes back, if there's consistency there, of course, we've seen it all year with Ohtani, but if we consistently see it with Freddie, man, I mean, this is going to be dangerous.
Freddie Freeman's having like one of the most under the radar great seasons, I feel like. And maybe it's just because we take him for granted, but 16 home runs, 66 RBIs, a 292 batting average, 395 on base, and 898 OPS. That would be an MVP in some years. And he's not even in the conversation because his teammate Shohei Ohtani has just been that dominant. And more thoughts on that 473-foot home run in just a couple seconds. But I wanted to get to the second game because that was a thriller. And in my humble opinion, I felt like that was the best Dodgers win of the year. I know there are a couple other games that you might want to throw in there, like the Colorado comeback or the game against the Yankees. But the fact that we go to the bottom of the ninth inning, maybe arguably the greatest Dodgers closer ever, Kenley Jansen, gets a chance to close it out for the Boston Red Sox. And he's facing Kike Hernandez, who has not been having that great of a season and came into the game as a pinch hitter for Gavin Lux earlier in the game, who had a home run himself. They did the platoon, the lefty righty split. And then of course we get to Kike facing Jansen, righty versus righty, and go figure. Kenley Jansen gives up his first home run of the season to his former teammate, not only in Los Angeles, but Boston as well. So I wonder if Kike talks some smack via text after the game to Jansen. Kike ties it up. So we'll stop there because that was a pretty momentum and huge home run by Kike Hernandez. And I don't think many people saw that coming.
You know, when I think, you know, watching that, immediately what pops into my mind is 2020. Kike with the game 7 tying bomb against Atlanta. It had that same kind of feel. Obviously, you know, you're looking regular season, postseason, but to see that version of Kike come back gives me hope that there's even more life in him down the stretch that we can utilize, because I've been kind of down on Kike. I think a lot of people have, a lot of people kind of counting him out, and it's because he hasn't had that great of a season. But then, you know, the Kike Hernandez game happens and he pulls off that swing, as you mentioned, hitting a bomb off Jansen. You talk about role reversal. You talk about guys playing for, obviously against former teams, and just the whole situation with how the game was kind of back and forth and Kike delivering in that big way. I mean, Kike, he's notorious for doing this for the Dodgers, right? And in big moments for them in the past. And I think it's just a testament to the fact that he still is a key piece to this team, even if it's off the bench, even if the numbers don't reflect it. You know that anytime he steps up to the plate, you shouldn't be shaking, you know, that you should sit there and at least have some confidence that Kike has the potential to make a difference, right? And so really, really happy to see, and I know you want to touch on the next at bat. So really happy to see that initial at bat against Kenley and what he was able to do to deliver just to keep the Dodgers back in the game. And then, of course, more happened after that.
Yeah, so we go to extra innings, and this has been kind of a concern, and it carried over into today's game as well. I don't know what happened to Evan Phillips, but this guy has hit a wall of regression. In this game, he coughed up a two-run home run to Tyler O'Neill, I believe, who hit a home run off Robleski earlier in the ballgame. I guess we could dive into Evan Phillips in the bullpen in just a couple minutes. But yeah, what Dusty was alluding to, eventually, I believe Páez doubled or drove in a run to make it 6-5. And then Kike Hernandez came up again, came through, tied it up. So two clutch hits by Kike Hernandez. This was obviously the Kike Hernandez game. And just kind of to conclude my thoughts on Kike, me and Jake were big proponents all offseason to bring back Kike, even though he doesn't really have the best regular season numbers to ever back it up. But for whatever reason, this guy has a feel for the big moment and just seems to come through playoff games, clutch regular season moments. So you can, for some reason, you can throw out the stats when Kike Hernandez is up at the plate in a big moment, because he just sparks like this. When the analytics and the stats don't say it should happen, he hits a home run off Josh Hader. He hits a home run off Kenley Jansen. Big player, Kike Hernandez. So this is why the Dodgers really wanted to re-sign him over Manuel Margot. And it took a while, but finally, here we are. That was July 20th. Kike rewarded the Dodgers for bringing him back.
Yeah, and to watch kind of a guy that has been pressing and step out and do that, and you saw that. I mean, tip the cap to Barnes today, right? Like, we're probably not going to talk much about him, but the man steps up and hits a bomb his first of the year as well. When you have the guys that are the bench players that are not starting every day, that's a hard role to have, right? And Kike is used to having that role, but that doesn't make it any easier. So for him to step out and ultimately deliver not once but twice, and I hope somebody bought him a nice steak dinner after that, because he fully deserved it for the fact that he kept the Dodgers in the game and ultimately helped allow them to win it. I gotta say, man, like, when you have pieces like that, that's dangerous, not just during this time of the year, but when October looms, having a Kike Hernandez that you know can do that is going to be key. And let's not forget, he also plays really good defense, right? So to be able to have an asset like that, where late in the game you can put him in, you can have him pinch hit, you can also have him play in the field, and if it does loop around to him, yeah, you probably aren't going to be terribly worried that he's stepping up to the plate with runners in scoring position, right? Which has been obviously the problem for the Dodgers in the past, especially during the postseason, runners in scoring position. Kike delivers, right? So that was huge, and was really fortunate to have back-to-back games where this Dodgers lineup stepped up when you needed it the most. But I think it is a testament to the fact that they do have fight, and this team is different, I think, from last year. I think there's legit fight in this team. And it's hard when you're missing key pieces, man. That's very difficult. It is very difficult to fight when you don't have a Mookie Betts in your lineup. I don't care who you do have in your lineup. It's hard when you don't have that. So when you have guys like Kike Hernandez, and when you have Austin Barnes, or really anybody down the lineup, any Páez stepping up, I mean, that's got to be key.
Yeah. And then good point by LaShiva Jones in the chat. Kike Hernandez hit his 10th year of service time in Major League Baseball, which is huge for any player in terms of the pension and all that. So kudos to Kike for reaching that milestone and the Dodgers extending that window. Will Smith ended up walking it off. So maybe Cora kind of was right in the first game, not wanting Will Smith to come up in the clutch, because Will Smith ended up walking it off in game two. Game three was wild. Sunday night baseball. Dodgers hit 6 home runs. Dusty mentioned the Austin Barnes home run, and I'm pretty sure he's like on a crazy hot streak as well. If I pull up his last 7 games, his batting average has just been absurd. I don't know what's gotten into Austin Barnes, but over his last 7 games, he's batting .450. Meanwhile, Gavin Lux also hit a home run. That was his second home run in as many days in a row. Teoscar Hernandez, fresh off the home run derby, he hit a home run. Jason Hayward, fresh off the injured list, he hit a home run. James Outman got sent down. Hayward to Kenley Jansen deep, right?
Yep, yep. And that was by the way, you talk about differences in home runs. That one just barely got out of there, but good to see Hayward coming off the IL and delivering essentially immediately.
Absolutely. And then, of course, the big home run, Shohei Ohtani blasting a 473-foot home run, which felt to me like one of the deepest home runs I've ever seen hit at Dodger Stadium. A lot of them, I feel like, are into the left field pavilion, but this one was a trajectory more right center that I haven't seen that one before. Ohtani smoked that ball. It just flew out nearly into the parking lot. It was insane.
Yeah, and you heard Clayton Kershaw on the broadcast. He was saying he's never seen any lefty in particular hit a ball that far in that stadium. And why would he? You know, that is an absolute missile. In first glance, I thought it did actually clear over the roof. It looked like that initially. It turns out it was just below that, but over the signage there. I don't really care where it landed. I care about the flight. And oh my God, that thing took flight and it never landed, really. It was insane to watch that. And I have a gut feeling that Ohtani, you're year one, he's going to hit a ball further than that, right? Like, he's got to. And Giancarlo Stanton beat him by, I think, 2 feet. I think in 2015, he got 2 feet on him. And technically, Stanton gets credit for hitting the ball out of the ballpark. But man, Ohtani is going to get another one like that. And if a pitcher's not careful, serves it fat up and over the middle of the plate. I mean, Ohtani, who knows? Ohtani's got the power, I feel like, to get a ball as close to 500 feet as possible. And so he's truly every day. My jaw drops watching him play. Okay. There's no player that we've seen that's better than him in the history of this game. And I think when you see something like this happen today, you just have to remember that, you know, we can get caught up on the wins and losses of the regular season, but you just got to remember we have the best player in baseball right here in LA. So you have to enjoy the ride. An all-star hitter hits 300. Okay. And Ohtani, doing what he's doing, hitting well over that and hitting bombs in the process, showing speed. He's also doing this right after having surgery, right? Like, and we continuously forget about that. He's having an MVP caliber season as a DH. Could be the first. That is insane, right? And so sometimes you just have to take a step back, do what Vince Scully said, and just let the crowd go wild, because what else can you say, right? What else can you say? That was an absolute bomb. And just appreciate Ohtani for the fact that he's a humble guy that happens to go out there and play better than any player I've ever seen in my entire life.
No doubt about it. And I can't remember the stat off the top of my head, but I feel like he's the first player to do all the stats he's ever done in his first 100 games. He's just been having a stellar season, and there's no reason for him not to win the National League MVP at the rate he's going. He's up to 30 home runs. He's just been tearing the cover off the ball. He was a big component in the second game too, or was it the one of those games he had a big, I think it was the first game, actually. He had a big double, which was what set up the second and third. And then Cora walked Will Smith. That's how the bases were loaded for Freddie Freeman. So I just love watching Ohtani play. It's been a pleasure manifesting something like this for a while, and I'm glad he's on the Los Angeles Dodgers. But to kind of close out this game, Evan Phillips was unable to close out this game, and it's been a very rocky ride for Phillips. I don't know what's happened to him, but his ERA is now up to 3.77, a 1.23 whip, which is very un-Evan Phillips like. And in the month of July, he's just been really struggling. 11.37 ERA. Looks like he's given up 9 runs, 8 earned runs across 6 1/3 innings, 3.45 batting average against, and he's allowed 4 home runs. And I kind of talked about this last week with, I was seeing some signs with Evan Phillips, with him appearing to be a little shaky, and Jake said not to be concerned, but it's only been getting worse and I'm concerned.
Yeah. You know, I am a little bit concerned. I do think pitchers have their highs and their lows. And obviously this is a low for him right now, consistently over the last few years. I mean, he really hasn't had a rough patch. So this is uncharacteristic for him, of course. You know, 31 innings pitched. It's pretty standard for where he was over the last couple of years to this point in the year. But the thing that does concern me a little bit, first of all, you saw the control today. It just wasn't there. He couldn't locate for the life of him. And I think that maybe is more concerning than most things, because we haven't seen Phillips struggle that badly at locating his pitches. But on top of that, if you want to go to the numbers, there's one particular stat that does slightly concern me a little bit, because this is a pretty dramatic drop off. So in 2022, you can make an argument Evan Phillips was as good, if not better, than every reliever in baseball, right? 2022, he has a 1.14 ERA in 63 innings. He strikes out 77. His whip is 0.76. That is insane, okay? So that's the Evan Phillips we were used to. It translates the next year to a 2.05 ERA. He goes out there. He gets 24 saves, which the prior season he only had two. So proved he could be a closer last year in 61.13 innings, okay? So same kind of structure as far as how many innings he got. There's no difference there. His whip was slightly higher at 0.83. What I look at this time around is I want to know, are hitters having a better time hitting against him? Is he having hitters maybe not swing at pitches they used to? So if you look at the chase rate, it's interesting, because in 2022, his chase rate was at 28.2%. Okay. That ranked 34th percent across the league. So not very great. He was reliant more on contact, or just simply he would put guys out by throwing strikes. Throwing strikes is the key. The next year, 2023, so last season, the chase rate goes up. It goes up to 31.4%. So a significant rise there, meaning he was working with more pitches to get guys swinging out of the zone. If you look at his stats overall, his pitching run value was in the top 92 percentile, which just means he was efficient across the board. Here in 2024, that chase rate has dropped from 31.4% all the way down to 27.7%, which is lower than, of course, what we saw in 2022. So you have to sit here and wonder, as that pitch run value is nearly at 50%. It's crazy, the drop off that he's had there. Is he not getting the swing and miss at the same efficiency as he was last season, and possibly even the season before when he was truly dominant? That's a concern to me. And so when you see what he did today, where a lot of the pitches he threw almost looked like out pitches, you just have to wonder, is he tired? Is he losing it? Is he trying too hard to strike guys out, and less about the Evan Phillips that we've seen in the past? So that's the one thing, just based off the statistics, that I kind of draw a conclusion from, that maybe Phillips is trying too hard to pitch around guys, and instead of trusting his stuff the way that he's done the past 2 years, because the stuff is there, right? He has plenty of movement on all of his pitches, but it is concerning that chase rate is down. And also the mass exit velocity is up against him 2 miles per hour this year. So that is a little bit different. You don't want to see guys hitting the ball harder against you. And the reality is they are doing that. And the slugging percentage is higher. It's slightly concerning in that respect.
Yeah, for now, it's just one of those things we have to just wait and see. But even before the Evan Phillips roller coaster ride that we've been experiencing right now, been a big proponent for the Dodgers to add a big reliever before this trade deadline. And Kenley Jansen was on my list, but after this series, I'm crossing Kenley Jansen off my list. So I'm just going to throw it out there, because I know a lot of Dodgers fans were probably frustrated with me advocating for this reunion, but I no longer want it, especially after Jansen, not even so much the home run to Kike, because that happens, but tonight he just looked like trash, and I don't want to go down this road. I don't want to go down this avenue again. So when we talk trade deadline, which probably is a good segue to get into that right now, just to kind of be the opener, we'll talk relievers real quick. So Kenley Jansen's a no.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster.
That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Save big money at Menards. Never get locked out from lost keys again. Menards carries a huge selection of electronic lock sets. Get a TrueBolt touchscreen deadbolt that features one-touch locking and 50 programmable user codes. Available in matte black or satin nickel finishes on sale now through September 8th at Menards. America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. Visit jdpower.com for details and menards.com for deals.
Save big money at Menards.
There are some reports out there, though, that the Dodgers could be trying to pull off a big haul and get the Oakland Athletics' Mason Miller. I don't know if you've had any thoughts on Mason Miller, Dusty, but that'd be a pretty big get, if they could get him.
I mean, Mason Miller is straight gas, man. That guy throws 103 miles per hour, 104. It's crazy because Mason Miller was developed by the Oakland A's to be a starting pitcher. And then, you know, injury kind of arose. There were some question marks about where he was kind of stacking up as far as could he handle innings, right? And I think, and we'll talk about this other player more, but it's a very strangely similar trajectory to what we kind of seen with Garrett Crochet. But then Crochet obviously turning into a starter. So Miller has been utilized primarily in the bullpen, right? And so you've seen him flourish that way. With that being said, the question will be, is he worth the price of admission, right? Because that is going to cost a pretty penny for a reliever that, you know, quite frankly, he throws so hard, you do have to have some concerns about injury, right? So I'm always kind of on the side of, I'd rather have a couple of solid relievers to come in. One dominant one, though, would be very sweet for this bullpen. I think they really need it. Obviously, the revival of Blake Treinen has been nice to watch, and seeing Hudson get out of trouble today, I think that was something that you can't just, you know, let slip out either. That was an impressive finish for him. But I think they need a couple guys, and if you look at the guys that are available out there, there are plenty of decent bullpen arms, both rentals, both guys that, you know, could carry long term. That maybe you don't necessarily have to spend a pretty penny on them, and instead allocate those pieces elsewhere to a Garrett Crochet or to a Luis Robert, et cetera, et cetera. And we could talk more about those, but guys that come to mind that are having, you know, really great months so far, AJ Puck has been really effective lately for the Miami Marlins. And you have a lefty arm out there too. I mean, add that to the pen. I think that would be kind of intriguing. You have to wonder how teams are going to value this based off of guys that are, you know, current assets and future assets. Right. But I think Puck is one of those pieces that if he slots in nicely, I think he could be a really good piece for the Dodgers here for quite a bit. If you look at other pieces, I cover the Cincinnati Reds, and the Reds have basically just fallen out of contention at this time. And so based off the Reds bullpen right now, they've got a couple arms that are at least worth pursuing or looking into. A couple that kind of stick out to me that I think they, to a degree, could make sense for the Dodgers with. Sam Moll, he's a lefty. He's another guy I got to see here in Louisville. Efficiency-wise, he's pretty decent there. He would be a cheap buy, I think. Nick Martinez, I think, is going to be a little more expensive, and I don't trust him nearly as much. But Lucas Sims is a name I do want to put out there, because Sims is pretty consistent in that bullpen, which is something to say about a bullpen that usually is not very consistent across the board. Over the last 8 1/3 innings, Sims struck out 8. He's got an ERA at 1.08. He does allow runners to get on base. That's the only concern I have, but I think he would be a cheaper buy as well. So with the Reds dropping out of consideration, there might be at least a matchup there of 1 to 2 relievers the Dodgers can poach. But yeah, I mean, if you can get a Mason Miller, you go after him. I don't want to hear the name DePaula thrown out there for Mason Miller, right? Like, I don't want to hear a name like that for a reliever. I just don't. And bullpen's so crucial, but you got to make sure you allocate the pieces the right way. So I'm curious to see what a Mason Miller would cost. I have a gut feeling the Baltimore Orioles are going to be a tough team to match up with the prospect overhaul that they have.
Well, spoiler alert, I don't think DePaula will be a Dodger if this other big package goes through, which we'll touch upon in just a minute. But to kind of round out the bullpen thoughts, I think they only need one guy. I'm not sure who it will be. I don't think they'll have the prospect capital left if they get this other big trade pulled off to even bring in a Mason Miller. But the reality is Brustar Graterol is now in AAA rehabbing. Michael Grove, not a big fan of him, but he's rehabbing. So that's two major league relievers.
You don't like Michael Grove? That's a shocker.
two major league arms that are on their way back to this Dodgers bullpen. And soon I think the Johan Ramirez ride is coming to a close because, my God, I am sick of watching this guy pitch what feels like almost every day. And lately he's just been imploding a lot. So I think he's going to hit the road soon. But yeah, there's other guys out there. We've talked about Kirby Yates in the past. Maybe David Robertson gets thrown out there if the Rangers are selling off some pieces. Tanner Scott's obviously the big one, but every team's in on Tanner Scott, so I don't know how feasible that one is. So yeah, we'll see there. But to put it all together, the one reliever I do think the Dodgers could pull off in this mega deal that not only Bob Nightingale's thrown out there, but Pat Ragazzo, who's he's also written about it, Michael Kopech, throw him in this Luis Robert and Garrett Crochet mega deal that's been rumored that the Dodgers are aggressively pursuing. I don't know if the Dodgers can pull this off, but if they can, this will just blow people's minds. So I don't know where you stand on this package, Dusty. So I'm glad to have you on the show to get your thoughts on what this rumor is all about.
Yeah, I have a few inside sources on this. And just to put it simply here, the Dodgers are definitely, at least for what I've been told, they are in play right now. And everything that you've heard about Crochet is true, that they are focused on that. That is the number one goal. And it sounds to me, at least from what I've been told, that is not going to change from now until the deadline, that they are basically locked in on that. The Luis Robert situation, though, that is more of a feasible thought. Doesn't mean it's not in play. It's just the cost is going to be astronomical, right? I mean, it's going to cost you a Josu DePaul. That's what it's going to cost you. If you want to get both of these guys, it's not even a question. So if anybody thinks there's a way around that, good luck, because that's your most valuable piece, and that's what's going to cost you plus more, right? You might end up seeing River Ryan go, right? Like, you might see Landon Acko. There are pieces that are going to be required to be dealt that are MLB ready pieces or are high potential prospect pieces that are going to have to go in this deal if you want to get Crochet alone. And if you want to get Luis Robert on top of that, just keep piling on the prospects, right? And then if you get Kopech, that part, I don't see that being too much of a difficulty of adding that piece. I have some concerns about Kopech. I think he's got lights out stuff when he's on. I'm actually more concerned about the mentality a little bit. He's not necessarily known to be a tough mental pitcher. He's had issues actually in the past that have sidelined him for that. So I do wonder how the big stage for him with the Dodgers, right? Like, he's been pitching in Chicago, yeah. Which not on the north side. Okay. Like, the pressure is in the north side. If you play for the Cubs, you're playing in pressure. Okay. But when you're playing for the White Sox, the reality is eyes aren't on you, even when you're pretty decent. And he still let the pressure get to him in the past. So from that perspective, I'm a little bit worried about him. And if that's a piece the Dodgers acquire, I wouldn't rest on the laurels and think, man, like, that we're good. You know, like, I would think that there's still quite a few more pieces that need to be addressed in the bullpen. But if you can pull off a mega deal where you get Garrett Crochet, you get Luis Robert, you get either or both, I mean, you made this team tremendously better. Garrett Crochet does have some question marks as far as health is concerned, but as far as straight stuff, I hate to use a player that literally was just right before him that preceded him on that team, but he looks kind of like Chris Sale. Okay, he looks like a prime Chris Sale. That's kind of what it is, with a leg kick that's borderline like Roy Oswalt of a lefty or Bronson Arroyo, right? Like, it's kind of wild. He's kind of got an interesting windup and delivery, and he hides the ball well. But that Chris Sale is who comes to mind when I watch
it. I have the same exact comp in my mind. Crochet reminds me a lot of Chris Sale. Yeah. And speaking of Chris Sale, I'm really high on Michael Kopech. He was involved in that Chris Sale trade.
He was, yeah.
The pedigree said that Kopech was going to be an elite starter. This was a highly touted prospect. And the reality of the situation is he's been a bust for the White Sox, mm-hmm. and now he's a reliever. But I kind of feel like he is very similar to Joe Kelly. And you look at the expected ERA, it's actually a lot better than what his true ERA indicates. So he has a 5.05 regular season ERA, but he has an expected ERA of 3.95. And just some of these advanced stats, he's got some really good ones. He's got some bad ones as too. A main issue for him, honestly, it looks like it's the walks. And I feel like with Mark Pryor, that's something they can really fix. You look at the expected batting average, it's elite, 204. The fastball velocity, I mean, this guy throws 99, 100 miles per hour. He generates a lot of strikeouts and a lot of whiffs as well. And at this point, the White Sox kind of view him as a throw-in. So I'm willing to take a chance on him. We had this, you were on the show when we talked about Chris Martin. He was kind of a very, very down pickup by a lot of fans, and they didn't know what the Dodgers were doing, and he ended up being an elite reliever. I kind of feel like the Dodgers can do the same exact thing with Michael Kopech. I hate this terminology, but sometimes you just have to say it. Sometimes a change of scenery really does do wonders for a guy. And if you throw Kopech in the Dodgers bullpen, where now he has Daniel Hudson, Alex Vesia, Blake Treinen, Evan Phillips, all those guys to mentor him, I think he could really thrive. It'd be an elite ad. But in terms of Garrett Crochet, if he's available and we can't get Tarek Skubal, which seems like the odds are against us, then I'm all in on Crochet. The innings thing is kind of a concern, and I'm not really sure where the Dodgers stand on it. We only hear from reporters, like Buster Olney threw it out, I think, on the broadcast today, that whatever team trades for him, they might just use him as a reliever, which kind of seems silly to me. If you're giving up that much prospect capital and you can't use Crochet as a starter until the playoffs because you're worried about the amount of innings, I don't know if it's worth it.
Yeah, you nailed it, because that is also my big concern with Crochet is I want a guy that can help produce in the regular season and the postseason. I mean, let's be honest, you know, the Dodgers are in a division right now that's not really fighting too hard, but that doesn't mean there's not like a late surge from the Diamondbacks that we see in the second half here. Okay. That's a team I'm still nervous about. I'll just be honest. Like, I will never count out the Diamondbacks after watching what they did last year. That's a team that's young, that's built, you know, to actually thrive on speed and timely hitting. So nobody should be concerned about the
Padres. And I'm like that, but with the Padres.
Are you really? I'm still not too terrible. Although Jake Cronenworth does give me nightmares, I will say. He just constantly gives me nightmares. But I'm more concerned, I think, with the Diamondbacks, just the timely hitting, the pitching that's been out. They have a story that I don't think people have realized, that, you know, E-Rod's been hurt. You know, they have guys that have not necessarily stayed healthy throughout the year either, and they've still shown they've got capabilities. And I never want to see Christian Walker in the batter's box at Dodger Stadium ever again, right? But that's beside the point. You know, Crochet, it would be so nice to have in the postseason. But you still got to get there. You want to get that first round bye. I think that's another thing. You really do want to get that. Yes. And the Dodgers right now, I mean, they're still kind of fighting for that with the Milwaukee Brewers. And so nothing's set in stone. And the Dodgers need to win games in the regular season just as much in order to get to the postseason. And so I would like a pitcher that can get them there, right? A guy that can actually eat innings, and a guy that can go out there every fifth day. Because right now they don't have that. You know, they just don't consistently have that because nobody's healthy. You could say that about Glass now. He's reached kind of his peak number of innings in his career, right? And so with younger pieces, you have Gavin Stone, who's never reached this level of number of innings pitched. And it's just, you know, Kershaw coming back, I'm super excited about it, but you got to be cautious at this point in his career. Like, you just have to be prepared. I mean, you don't know how many innings you're going to get out of him. So, yeah, I'm not going to counter saying don't go out and get Garrett Crochet. But I will say, if you go out and get him and spend the prospect capital on him, you should still have another plan for a pitcher that can eat innings, because you really need that during the regular season. And, you know, Vesia Marching over here has commented saying, do you think River Ryan is being showcased tomorrow? I mean, that's a possibility. I could see that. I mean, I think that's got to be one of the pieces that the Chicago White Sox are sitting there marking on their prospect list saying, okay, circle him. We need him in a trade if we're giving you Crochet and or Luis Robert. I mean, I think that that's got to be a pretty clear and easy piece that goes there with Josie DePaula.
No doubt about it. And I don't know if he's being showcased or the Dodgers actually are just really high on him and they want him in this major league rotation. And I feel like he was going to make the show at some point this season, regardless. He just had the shoulder setback. So here he is now in the month of end of July, basically. But yeah, I mean, you can argue that was the same case for Robleski, who I believe is going to get sent down maybe tomorrow when they activate River Ryan. You could say that he could be another guy in this trade package. So River Ryan and Robleski might both be going to Chicago or whatever big team trade the Dodgers have in order. Tampa Bay, I don't know. But I'm excited to see what River Ryan has nonetheless. I do feel like this guy is really talented and he gets a nice matchup with the San Francisco Giants. But yeah, to tie this all back together, when this deadline is over and it's all said and done, the Dodgers have to have a new outfielder in that lineup. Mm-hmm. So whether it's Luis Robert and they pay the hefty price, and I know Robert is not having the best season by any means, but he does have a 775 OPS at least with 11 home runs and 11 steals. Páez has kind of been an adventure in center field, and Robert is someone you can trust. And if they can't get him, then the other guy they got to get is Randy Arozarena in Tampa Bay, who I honestly feel like could be even a bigger difference maker offensively. And he's really woken up for the Tampa Bay Rays, especially in this last month. He's like back to vintage Arozarena. If you look at his batting average and his OPS, they're all high. He's like 300, 800 plus OPS. He just had like three home runs in the last 2 days against the Yankees as well. So he's been on fire. But yeah, do you think the Dodgers, when it's all said and done, they have to have at least one new outfielder added to this team?
Yeah, I do. And I agree with those two names. I'll add another one for you that I think they should at least be somewhat in on. And that's Jazz Chisholm of the Miami Marlins. Some people, I've always heard mixed reviews on this guy, and understandably so, because he's a lot is the best way to put it. I mean, his name is Jazz, and he quite literally, if you've never seen him play before, he's eccentric, right? Like, he is flashy, front cover of whatever video game, the MLB RBI, like 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I mean, he's a flashy player who hits bombs when it's, down the pipe, and he strikes out, and he's got speed. He's got so many different tools. And the question has always been, well, can he put them fully together? And this year, you're kind of seeing him put it together to a degree. The average has kind of been consistent in his career, right around 250. But the on-base percentage, it's at 322. So he's getting on base at a higher peak in a lineup where they don't produce. So that says a lot. I think if you put him at leadoff, or in this case with Mookie, you probably put him in the two hole, right? I think that can add to this lineup. You could lead him off actually too, and then have Mookie go two, Shohei go three, Freddie four. I mean, there are so many different ways that you could go about it, and Smitty go five, and Teoscar. I mean,
Shohei's my leadoff hitter.
I mean, after all this, I'm okay with that. I have no complaints about Shohei leading off. He's been incredible, and get your best hitter at the plate consistently. But I think Jazz at least offers some value offensively and defensively. And he's still, by the way, it feels like he's been in the league for a while. He's still only 26 years old. So there's still a lot of room for growth. And he's having a pretty healthy season. He's hit 13 bombs, has 19 stolen bases. So that's just another guy that I kind of throw out there that, maybe, just maybe, he could be another guy that adds some flash to a team that, with the big names that we have, it would be cool to have somebody that is a little eccentric. Kind of, we haven't seen a Puig in a while, right? Like, a guy that just shows so much emotion. And I do think Jazz Chisholm would show a lot of emotion. Randy Arozarena does that, and so yes. I like Arozarena for that reason. I think that Arozarena brings more than just the statistics, that he also brings an energy that would be welcome to this locker room. And that's what I want to see. I want to see the Dodgers get an outfielder that has energy. I'll tell you this, Luis Robert, like, at his value, man, I mean, he's so good. He's a top tier player. I know he's been struggling a little bit this season, but if you've watched any White Sox games, and I hate to admit that I have, It's not fun. It's not fun watching the White Sox. And I swear Luis Robert's one objective is going out there and just trying to hit bombs right now, because there's nothing else to do in that lineup. I don't like the concept of a guy that's so highly touted and has a ton of value just sitting in the middle of a lineup that has no business even being in the MLB right now. And that's what the White Sox are. So maybe the Dodgers go out and rescue him. I would love to see him in the heart of this lineup, man. But a man can dream.
Yeah.
Robert's obviously number one on the wish list. I would say a Rosarena is two.
Well, yeah. Speaking of dreams, I hate to crush your dreams. I don't think the Dodgers are in on Jazz Chisholm at all.
Is it just the Rojas drama? Is that where
that's? Yep. I know Rojas got hurt today and he could be out a few days, but I don't think the Dodgers are going to even explore that.
Yeah. There's some drama there. You've seen them make moves in the past where you're grown men, you can resolve it, but we'll see what they do. I do think that you can't just cross them off because of Miguel Rojas, right? Like, Rojas is a good player in the locker room and thankful for him there. But if you want a good quality outfielder and the Orioles pony up money and the Phillies pony up prospect capital and they go out and get a Robert and in a Rosarena, you got to make a move, right? And the reality is the Dodgers aren't the only team going for these guys, right? So you got to have backup option one, backup option two, and probably backup option three and four. And if I'm seeing Jazz Chisholm's name in the headline, if I'm seeing a Rosarena, and by God, if I see Luis Robert, I'm celebrating that day, regardless of which of the three it is.
Same. So we'll get to Javier T's question in just a second, and I'm going to open it up to our chat in its entirety. Feel free to drop your questions below and we'll answer those right now. So you can ask us anything. It doesn't even have to be baseball. We'll answer anything off the wall. I don't give crap. It's a late night here. We'll have fun with it. But before we do that, just want to do a quick sponsor shout out to TickPick, who's been sponsoring this podcast for a couple years now. I just bought tickets off the TickPick app just the other night to get excellent front row seats to A Day to Remember at the Kia Forum. It was a sick show. And thanks to TickPick, I paid under face value and I had first row seats. And you can do the same if you're trying to go to a Dodger game. We've got a lot of fun games coming up. If there's a particular Dodger you're trying to score a bobblehead to, download the TickPick app, save some money, no service fees at checkout, and you're going to have the best deals out there on the open market. So, great question here from Javier T. Realistically, who do you guys seeing coming back this season? Well, one guy that I do see coming back this season is Clayton Kershaw, and he's going to be added to this Dodgers rotation. I believe he will be starting Thursday, which is the day game, which is kind of annoying. So I guess I'll be at work. But Clayton Kershaw will make his 2024 debut for the Dodgers against the Giants. So he will be coming back. That's a big add to this rotation. Tyler Glasnow is going to be activated, and he'll be back in this Dodgers rotation. So that's two major league vets. So you can assume those two, plus Gavin Stone, plus James Paxton, and then River Ryan, I guess those are your five guys. So maybe Knack gets sent down, I'm not sure, or Ryan gets sent down after his start. We'll wait and see. But Bruce Stargrouder will be coming back. Looks like Michael Grove will be coming back at some point. Mookie Betts, who's about 50%, he said, with his hand, he'll be coming back. He's been fielding, but until he starts swinging a bat, I'm not going to be excited. And then Max Muncy, who knows? I guess he's doing some light workouts right now. But that's another big wild card. If he can't come back, the Dodgers got to acquire an infielder to cover his position. Because, my God, I do not want Kevin Biggio batting with the game on the line.
Yeah, I don't either. Tip the cap to Biggio for his base hit today. But, like, I agree with you. I mean, I can't trust that piece. You know, I'm just going to float this, okay, as an option if that is an issue. If you need a cheap buy and a guy that's going to produce at the bottom of the lineup, and if you want a locker room presence, just go back out there. And worst comes to worst, this guy comes off the bench, because I think this is the stage of his career where he's kind of doing that now more so. And it's Justin Turner. I mean, like, if Dodgers have this tendency, it seems, in their championship type seasons where they like to bring back former stars. Okay. Like, we saw them bring back Russell Martin. We saw them bring back Matt Kemp for the 2018 run. I mean, let's just keep the trend alive and bring back Turner, I guess. I'll float that as an idea, but obviously that's not the key target you're looking at. But if you do need somebody that knows the history and tradition of this organization and knows how to win and wants to win with the Dodger Blue, that is a guy that wants to do it. I will say, just kind of answering that question of who we see back coming back this season, a guy that I thought we would see that I'm not feeling very confident in right now is JP Feiereisen. I really thought that was going to be one of those sneaky ads that, you know, oh man, like, okay, we got him, cheap buy, going to come out of the bullpen and shove like he did before he got injured. The numbers aren't pretty right now at AAA. So there's another name that I'm going to throw out there. And I have no basis on this other than to say I would like to see this happen. And it's Nick Anderson, who is, of course, never pitched for the Dodgers, but it feels like he has been part of this team because of obviously what happened in the 2020 World Series. You know, that was if you need a refresher, he is the pitcher that they brought in, the Tampa Bay Rays did, for Blake Snell. And then the Dodgers progressed to go ahead and score and make it 2-1 in the World Series. They go on to win. Yes, he was the pitcher that caused the drama for Tampa Bay. But I will say this, Nick Anderson has had a very steady career. A lot of people want to talk about the Dodgers broke him. They kind of did, but he still had a 3.06 ERA last season. Gets DFA'd from Kansas City. Dodgers go and swoop and grab him as soon as possible. And I think there's a reason behind that. I still think there's value there. I really do. And it's because this guy is a career 3.18 ERA. Okay. So you can't just bat an eye and look away from that. There is talent to be said there. I think Nick Anderson's a name that if they can figure out whatever's gone slightly wrong with him, and he wasn't even that bad this year. He just hasn't been the Nick Anderson of old. A 4.04 ERA, not terrible. And in his last seven games, a 3.68 ERA. I mean, it hasn't been horrible. It's just, it hasn't been to the level that I think people expected of him. So that's a project that I'm kind of intrigued by. And don't let that, you know, slip the radar. I think that that's something that, you know, maybe that name will come up and when the Dodgers need it.
Yeah, Nick Anderson was just awful like that entire World Series. I'm pretty sure he gave up a home run to Corey Seager as well.
Yeah.
It hasn't been the same since. But, yeah, I mean, I agree. He's probably more likely to make the Dodgers' big league roster than J.P. Feiereisen at this point. They optioned him off the 40-man altogether. Yeah. So his time in Dodger blue could be coming to an end. Yeah. We'll see. But, yeah, I like the risk. And then in terms of Justin Turner – I'm on board, especially if he can just be a bench piece because he wouldn't hurt us. Like, there's a good chance Justin Turner, at the very worst, could just be the David Freese role that we had a couple years. Clutch bat off the bench, spot starts here and there, and he would be an expiring contract too. So I don't hate it, and I think it would make sense if the Dodgers have the roster flexibility. I think that covers all that for who I think is coming back. So next up comes from Kiwi Dodger fan, are we seeing the return of the Lux bat?
Ooh. Okay. This is a juicy one because we kind of are at this time. It feels a little early to jump the gun because we know how quickly the game of baseball can change. But if you look at Lux's most recent couple of days, okay, like we're not just talking about today and yesterday, but he started to put together more productive at-bats. And I think that's something that you got to sit there and say, okay, there's something here, right? He goes 3-for-4 today. He goes 2-for-2. He has a couple offers, but prior to that, he goes 2-for-5, 0-for-2, 2-for-2. Okay, he's putting hits together, quality at-bats together, and that's been over the last 11, 12 days. If he can somehow turn this second half into kind of a turnaround for him, like he's still in my eyes. I have to keep bringing this up to people. He's a recovery from ACL surgery. And if there's one person that could talk and speak on that, it's myself because I had to do it and it's terrible. And I had ACL surgery. Now it's been 14 months ago and I'm still not the same. And athletes, obviously they get the benefit of the doubt. They get the best recovery. They get all these doctors and all the attention. I understand that. But to expect a player to come back from ACL surgery and just pick up right where they left off, use an example of Rhys Hoskins, it just doesn't happen, right? Like it doesn't happen immediately. So Lux has had to relearn how to walk, guys. Like that's something that is so difficult for a lot of people to understand. But there is a human element to this game. And Lux has experienced the human element probably more than most of these other players have. He goes from being a highly touted prospect to not nearly producing the way that people expected to tearing his ACL. That's a huge, significant letdown, and it's hard to initially come back from that. The way that he's starting out right now, I'm loving his patience, his pitch selection, his swing is fluid. There's something that's working for him. I'm not going to jump the gun and say that, oh, he's back, we're good. But something is going right. The needle is turning the right direction, and that's what you want to see. So, yes, I think we may be seeing what is not even a return for Lux, but just hopefully what is the Gavin Lux that we kind of were hoping we would see.
Even though Gavin Lux is hitting .429 over his last seven games with three home runs, I'm selling it. I don't think Gavin Lux is returning, and I see more Lux questions coming up, so I'll save it for then. Ran Matendo 77, would Luis Renjifo be an option, or is there just no way in hell the Angels trade with the Dodgers?
Well, it happened once, right? It technically happened once already. They technically had acquired Luis Renjifo, and I think it was the Jock Peterson deal that got axed. I look at it, and he's a utility player that can get on base and produce. Yeah, I mean, he's not like a big name, and the Angels need pieces. So I look at it as if that's a piece that's available that the Dodgers can acquire, I don't see why that can't be added to this roster, that would be helpful. And you mentioned like we need bench pieces. He theoretically is the kind of guy that you can throw out there and do what Dave Roberts loves, which is rest a guy this day, and have Renjifo play, you know, 3 to 4 of the 5 games. And that's something that would work. Renjifo is a very productive hitter.
I truly believe that Artie Moreno's just checked out at this point, and he wouldn't even know if a trade happened until like a week later. So if Perry Minasian is trying to save his job and feels like this is the best deal out there with the Dodgers, he'll make that move, and whatever happens, happens. So I don't think there's this embargo between the Angels and the Dodgers. Right. I do think if the Dodgers presented a deal that blew their socks off, Artie Moreno would have the decency to not veto it. So to answer the question, yes, I do think the Renjifo trade is possible, but I don't think that's the Dodgers' focus at this moment. I think it's been that White Sox big package we're talking about, which I think, honestly, if it's going to happen, it'll happen a day or two before the trade deadline to give the front office for the Dodgers time to add those other fillers.
Yep, I completely agree. I think that a lot of people jump to the trade deadline and focus on that date. And we've seen in recent years that most of those major moves happen 1, 2, 3 days in advance for that exact reason. Kev, you nailed it. I mean, a lot of times it's those filler pieces that are traded right at the deadline. And that doesn't mean the Dodgers, you know, don't make a major move even after that. But it's just definitely like, I mean, you're talking, today is the 22nd, right? I guess for you guys on the West Coast right now, it's still the 21st. For me, it's the 22nd. I'm playing East Coast time right now. But I think that you got a week, right? Like you got a week to make this happen. And so Dodgers are very active in conversations right now. I'm sure Andrew Friedman's been on the phone today and will continue to be. And I agree. I think the White Sox are target and priority number one.
Javier T, biggest name you guys see being traded that's currently playing in our lineup. For me, it's Miguel Vargas. I don't think he's surviving the trade deadline.
Interesting. Yeah, I think Pajes, somebody floated saying, I hope Pajes doesn't get traded. I don't see that happening. I don't see Pajes on the move, but I kind of have to agree. I think Vargas doesn't really have a place necessarily, a full-time starting job in the near future. And if you're dangling a piece that still has present day value and that's major league ready, I think that is a very viable piece. And probably if you're just talking about the starting lineup, then that's who it would be. If you're talking on the starting and the actual roster though, I'm kind of sitting here thinking to myself, I mentioned like, you're going to have a couple pieces that maybe they are showing them off. Maybe they're trying them out. I think Landon Knack is a potential trade chip. I also think that River Ryan could be a trade chip as well.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Brian, question, gut reaction, is Gavin Lux a Dodger after the trade deadline?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you're not going to get, I think, a ton of value for him right now. And he is playing a position that you're not deep in right now either. So you kind of need somebody to fill that void. And if he does show some production, I mean, you're going to keep him there. It's kind of a mix of the fact that we're not going to get a ton of value for Gavin Lux in a trade. I think that's a total sell low. And what are you going to acquire? Unless he's a total, he may be a throw in a White Sox deal. I guess that's possible. So I'm not going to poo-poo it. I don't necessarily see that being the case. I think the White Sox front office is going to target a lot of guys that are currently prospects or are borderline entering the MLB versus a reconstruction, a rebuilding project, which technically maybe Lux is falling into that category. I don't necessarily see that being the piece, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I feel like I'm cursed and stuck with Gavin Lux for maybe the rest of his career. So my gut is telling me, as much as I want him gone, he's still going to remain a Los Angeles Dodger post trade deadline, and I'm going to be sick. We'll get to the final questions in just a second, but before we kind of close out the show, Dodgers have a series with the Giants coming up. They're going to play four games. The Giants are currently 48-52, and even though the Giants are down there in the standings now, I feel like this is still an important series for the Dodgers because they can potentially end the Giants season and put them into pure sell mode, and that's what I want. I want the Giants to quit. I want Farhan Zaidi to lose his job in the offseason. I want Bob Melvin to be proven as a fraud and a phony that he was a bad hire. I want Blake Snell to opt out and go elsewhere. I just want the Giants' entire franchise to collapse.
Be the world.
Yeah, exactly. And that's who we're going to see coming out to begin this series. Blake Snell, I think this is the first time he's facing the Dodgers this season. He's currently 0-3 with a 6.31 ERA. But I will say, I was looking at his game logs, and his last two starts, he's managed to go, I think, 12 scoreless innings and only has allowed two hits. So he's starting to look like he's turning the corner. Then after that, so that'll be River Ryan against Blake Snell. Game two, right now it's Jordan Hicks against Landon Knack. But I have heard there's potentially Robbie Ray making his 2024 debut against the Dodgers in this series. And then Tyler Glasnow and Clayton Kershaw are the scheduled two starters to conclude that series with the Dodgers. So I don't have many other thoughts on that series other than what I kind of threw out there. I don't know if you had anything to add, Dusty.
Yeah, get to their bullpen, I think, is something. They've been very shaky. Surprisingly, one of their least consistent pitchers has been Camilo Duvall. So ninth inning, they've been completely volatile. And it seems like the Giants this year can't quite close games out, whether that be Duvall, whether that be getting timely hitting. They just haven't really necessarily had that. They've had a couple moments, but consistently they haven't been doing that. And so the Dodgers need to jump on that. Also, you saw what happened with just in general, you see their best starter go out there in the All-Star game and just completely implode. That was a lot of fun to watch. So they got a payback for losing the All-Star game thanks to Logan Webb going out there and not delivering. But I think one thing that sticks out to me is the Giants as a whole, there's not like a key cog in that lineup except for one piece that sticks out. You can't let Helio Ramos beat you. He is the one piece in that lineup that is consistently going out there and producing day in, day out. They get production from Matt Chapman to a degree. Jorge Soler hits one dinger, it seems, a series that's like a mammoth shot, and then he strikes out the rest of the time. Helio Ramos is the guy that you just got to be careful of. So when the Dodgers go into this, they obviously have preparation. They've got the numbers. They've got everything. They know who they're facing. But Helio Ramos is the guy that can create damage, that causes damage. And, you know, time and time again, it feels like the Dodgers have two, three games against the Giants that are one run, two run games. And then there's one outlier that's like a 10-7 game. But expect it to be competitive per usual. And, yeah, I'm excited to see Kershaw back out there. Don't expect him to go very deep into the game. So that's something to keep in mind. It's going to be a pretty short outing for Kershaw Day. But hey, guess what? Kershaw Day is back, and it's something we've been waiting a long time for. And Glass now coming back. It's going to be nice too.
If Kershaw takes a perfect game into the seventh, do you let him go?
Oh man. I mean, I want to see it, you know, I want to see it, but I don't think he's going to take a perfect game into the seventh. It may be taking a perfect game into the fourth inning and then Dave Roberts snatches it. So we would be able to see, I don't think there's ever been, has there been a perfect game, a combined perfect game? I don't think there has. No.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah, I don't think there has. So we would be able to see the first combined perfect game. I mean, that would be pretty cool.
All right. Few final questions, and then Dusty, I want to make sure to give you a few minutes if there's anything we didn't cover that you want to cover. So here we go. Quick rapid fire. Big. Do you think Muncy will come back by September? Yes.
Yes, I do. I hope so, but yes.
Noisy Ninja 91. Do the Dodgers give James Outman another shot, or does he get traded?
He could be dished. I mean, this is the second time they're sending him down. There's probably a purpose behind it. I'll say, yeah, I think he does get traded.
I'm right there with you in terms of he could be traded, and I don't think he gets recalled unless there's an injury at this point. Javier T, what's the biggest team you guys think will sell? What team has surprised you that has flopped?
Team that's going to sell should be the White Sox, right? They absolutely should do that. I would also just sit back and say, because I now know this, the Reds are going to sell. They're going to at least sell small pieces. So watch for like a Frankie Montas. As far as the team that surprised me, as far as I guess one that should have been good that's flopped. I mean, the Diamondbacks, you could argue they haven't had a great start to the year, but I think that they're going to turn it around. So I'll say the Diamondbacks.
Okay. So the White Sox are the obvious answer. So the second team that I think is going to really shake up the deadline will be the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yep,
I think their earth is crashing and they're about to just go scorched earth and fire the GM, who's been awful in my opinion, and just start this shit over. And then the team that surprised me that's flopped, I guess, Dusty's Reds. I thought they'd be more competitive this year, and it looks like they are taking a big step back. And David Bell's their manager.
Yeah, no pitching. They just not timely hitting, and I feel like they kind of addressed the offseason poorly. I won't go too deep into it, but the Reds are a team that I thought were going to be really good too. And you know, you got guys like Jamer Candelario that step up, and you're like, okay, this is going to be a great season. But they can't stay healthy. They keep getting hit in the hand, and the Dodgers know that all too well. And that's been like a huge issue for them this year. They've had five guys hit in the hand that's broken or fractured a hand, and they can't stay healthy. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. I think David Bell's going to be fired. I don't know how they would keep him after this bad season.
It's really
hard. Grand Mentado. I see you're mentioning, could Jaren Duran get traded? No, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think the Red Sox will trade anything of note unless it's Kenley Jansen. Showtime LA, thoughts on an Isak Paredes trade? We've talked about him before on the show. Would love the idea.
He produces. The only kind of concern I have for him is he doesn't have a ton of pop. The power numbers show that they're there, but he utilizes that short left porch. So it would kind of probably work at Dodger Stadium, and he is a decent bat as far as average is concerned. But just don't look at the numbers and take that as the end all be all. Some of those are a little misleading, but I like the player. I just think maybe they're a little elevated.
Whether it's Paredes or Yandy Diaz, I'd welcome either of them, but to just be repetitive, a Rosarena will always be the number one Tampa Bay Ray. I want, I would overpay for him. I really do think he's like a Manny Ramirez light, and he would just embrace Los Angeles and it would be insane.
He's got speed. He's flair, man. He does have flair. And the Dodgers, I'm telling you, man, it's a team of nice guys. They could use some flair. They could use some flair.
John Bleeding Blue, thank you so much for the super chat. I always appreciate all our listeners. And whenever anyone's generous enough to leave us a super chat, it makes me love you even more. So really, really, really thank you, and hope to see you more around here, John Bleeding Blue. So thank you so much. With River Ryan, Glasnow, Kershaw in this Dodgers rotation, those are three ads. Who's going down? So I think Robleski will be sent down as soon as tomorrow, since he most recently made a start. And then after that, Landon Knack's coming up in the rotation. We might be seeing him get sent down. So those are my two guesses.
That's pretty easy. I think those two right there. I don't see anybody getting DFA'd necessarily. It's hard to say because you're right. The way that they're sequentially going to do that. Here's an interesting one. What if they throw Evan Phillips on the IL? I mean, that's the other thing. If there's something that's deeper than what we've seen, that's something just to hold back. I mean, Dodgers are notorious for this. Guy struggles, somehow says, oh, it's arm fatigue, right? And I mean, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities that somebody hits the IL. You saw Rojas also taken out. So there's a couple options there.
Okay. Octavio Mendoza. Do you think the hitting coach should be replaced for the Dodgers because they're still relying on the home run ball and not hitting for contact in crucial situations? I'm tired of seeing this in October. Well, Van Skoyak, I do think if the Dodgers have another playoff collapse, he'll be unemployed and looking for a new job after the postseason if it's another disaster.
Yeah, this is the tough conversation for me because I actually hit with him. So he was my hitting coach. he changed my swing completely. I mean, like, that guy is as brilliant of a hitting instructor as I'll ever have in my life. And talking ball with him, I've learned so much that I'm able to talk about it now because of him. Talking not just like launch angle, but you're talking about just general bat path. You're talking about how to go through the plane. Seeing the ball inside and driving it to right center field. I'm always going to be slightly biased because he changed my swing for the better. I'm still sitting in this room. I'm not playing on the field. So I have to take into account what's actually happening out there. Right. And the reality is they haven't been consistently hitting. I'd like to see that if it does happen where they consistently get at bats. I mean, listen, they're still top three in bombs. In production in the league, look at where they stand overall. I mean, they're still in that upper echelon offensively. So for a Dodgers standard, it's tough. But, you know, keep in mind, Mookie's been out, right? You have Muncy that's out too. The general starting lineup that we expected to see, we haven't seen in months, right? And so that's not an excuse for not hitting when you have Shohei Ohtani and Freddie Freeman in the lineup. But I will say his teaching, it generally works. It generally works. And so, you know, that's something to consider is that he's changed a lot of player swings for the better. And yeah, just one thing after another. I mean, let the Dodgers hitting tell the tale and go from there.
Agreed. This will be our last question unless we get any more super chats or a really lit question. So once again, thank you, John Bleed and Blue, for the super chat. Does Clayton Kershaw get enough starts to reach 56 strikeouts for 3,000 career strikeouts? And I assume he's talking about for this season.
For this season, yeah. You know, at the trajectory that he would do, let's do the math there, Klein, I guess.
Yeah, so to kind of make things easier, I'm just looking at a quick look on FanGraphs of what they're projecting right now. Yeah. They project he'll make 9 starts with 51 innings thrown. So
that would get him probably pretty close to there.
Yes.
That would get him pretty close.
So this is a really good question because Kershaw really is on the border and it could happen. It could not happen. It's going to come down to the finish. So do I think it'll happen this season? My gut says no. I think there's going to be some type of injury or they have to skip a start or two. I don't think they want to overwork the shoulder. Mm-hmm. And this is where the show is going to get really interesting. When we hit September and Kershaw's pitching, there's going to be a lot of debates of there's going to be a lot of debates on what Clayton Kershaw's role for the postseason will be for the Dodgers.
Yeah.
But in terms of the regular season, I don't know. I'm going to say he comes up short and has to get it done in 2025.
I mean, you know, I think his K per nine, you're going to see sit right around 9. So if he needs to get 56 Ks, he's going to have to throw roughly 56 innings, which, yeah, I mean, if you do the math there, you know, you're talking about that's roughly 10 starts is kind of how I see that for him. Maybe more depending on how conservative they are. We'll say even maybe that's 12 starts. I don't know. I don't know how deep they're going to let him go in games. I think that's right. Really what it comes down to. So if they're letting him go 5 innings a game, then I think he gets there. I really do. But if they go, hey, here's three innings, here's four innings, here's four and a third, like if they're slowly progressing him, which is kind of what I'm guessing they're going to do, I'll give an over under right now, Kev. Three innings, over under. Is that what is he going to go over or under that this week?
Oh, he'll go over easily unless he gets shelled.
Yeah, I think it's three, maybe three and a third. I don't see anything over four, to be honest. I kind of think that they ease him into it. And that's just kind of the way the Dodgers have done this thing. Like it'll be, you know, three may be light, but I think four might be his max that we see from him in that first start. I don't see them stretching him out the way that a lot of other people might. And that's simply because they've got to be cautious.
Yeah. So last season he was able to make 24 starts, had 137 strikeouts over 31 and two-thirds innings thrown. So
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to be optimistic. I'll say yes. He gets it. He gets exactly 3,000.
that would be epic.
Right on the dot. Find FanDuel, plug it in. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. I'd have to do some counting to be precise. It'll be close. Randy Arozarena with 7 home runs, 15 RBIs, .294 batting average over his past 30 days. Thank you again, John Bleeding Blue, for the super chat. Just another reiteration of why we really need Randy Arozarena potentially in this Dodgers lineup. So Dusty Baker, it's been a while since you've been on the show. Really appreciate you coming on. It's been fun talking baseball and trade deadline. I know it's really late currently where you're at, but if you have a few more minutes to spare, I wanted to see if there's anything you wanted to cover or talk about before we sign off.
Anything for you, Kev. No, I love this, man. This is the best part of my day. And for those of you that don't know me, I'm a sports anchor in Louisville, Kentucky. So I guess a couple things. I have a lot that happens out here that is Dodger related, right? So we have Will Smith that went to U of L. Bobby Miller went to U of L. Also, Dalton Rushing went to U of L. Mookie Betts does a bowling tournament every single year here in Louisville. Walker Buehler's from Lexington, you know, so we're surrounded by Dodger blue everywhere here. So that's been pretty cool for me. As far as the topic that I want to talk about, though, the topic's going to be the trade deadline, right? Everybody wants to discuss this. I think, you know, we could talk about specific players. We could talk about all these targets. There's one thing for me that really comes to mind is that the Dodgers have multiple spots they have to address, right? Like one move, and I think I've said it earlier in this podcast, but one move should not be the only move, right? Like they need to fill multiple voids. They need to address the bench, in my opinion. I think that's a weak bench. We need guys that are going to be able to step up in the postseason, in the regular season, clutch hits. You saw Kike do it. We can't just sit there and rely on just Kike, right? Like there's got to be more than Kevin Biggio stepping up. Can't rely on that, right? I need an arm in the rotation. You go out, get Crochet. You need to get another starter on top of that, because they always say you can't have enough pitching. In the Dodgers case, we don't know. We haven't even mentioned his name yet, but Yoshi. I mean, the status of Yoshi is concerning, right? So you just got to sit there. Buehler hasn't been nearly the player that he was. Like, he just can't seem to get out of his funk yet. You got to sit there and probably go out after another guy. Jack Flaherty comes to mind as a potential target that I really like out there that would make some sense, a reunion coming back to LA. But you got to hit multiple spots. You got to get the bench. You got to hit the outfielder. You got to go and get a starting pitcher, and you got to get bullpen. That is a lot. I mean, those are four major check marks. The Dodgers are going to have to be busy, right? They have to be busy this trade deadline, because they don't win a World Series and this year is a failure. Okay. That's just the reality of it. From this point on, the Dodgers don't win a World Series, it's a failure of a season, because you are wasting the best player in the history of baseball that way, right? Shohei Ohtani deserves a championship. The city of LA deserves a championship that is celebrated in the streets, celebrated with a parade, something we didn't get in 2020. The city of LA deserves a championship where there are fans at Dodger Stadium that get to celebrate a championship. That has not happened. And that hasn't happened since 1988, right? Like, so that needs to happen in this decade. This needs to happen this year. And Andrew Friedman knows this. And so he's got to be active. He's got to be jumping at moves. And Kev, the best thing you said on this podcast today was a trade shouldn't come on deadline day, right? If the Dodgers haven't made a trade by deadline day, I'm very nervous. Okay. That's just the reality of it. I'm very nervous at that point because you're cutting it awfully close. And all of a sudden those secondary moves, they're going to have to trickle in at the last second. So Dodgers got to make a move here this week. Dodgers got to make a move by next Monday. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not waiting till Tuesday to sit here and be like, all right, today's the day. Let's go make a move. It's got to happen before that. It's got to happen today, tomorrow, the next day. You got to jump on it. And so my overall take is there's a lot of work to be done and the Dodgers have a lot of spots they need to address. But with that being said, don't lose faith in this particular group because I think this group is very special. I think if you can get the healthy pieces back, you get Mookie back, you get energy in the locker room, something I want to see. I want to see energy out there. I want to see a Randy Arozarena out there. I want to see loud locker room, loud dugout, guys up on the bench, guys that are loud and energetic and want to be there. And we've seen quite a few of those dudes doing that, but I want to see it as a group down the stretch here. And I want Dodgers fans to show up in the first inning and leave in the ninth. You know, I don't want to see this show up in the traffic situation, right? Like I want to see them when it starts and when it ends. That's just the reality of it. With that being said, man, don't lose the faith because of a loss and don't count a player out because they have a bad day. This is baseball. You go 3 for 10, you're a superstar. So, and enjoy the ride, right? Like we have a hard time sometimes where the Dodgers will have like 105 wins in a season. And all we're doing is talking about, you know, the 50 losses that they have and just enjoy the ride that we have here because this is a special group. And someday, 15 years from now, I'll be telling my kids, yeah, I was alive to be able to watch Shohei Ohtani play. And that's pretty cool.
I think that's a good note to end the show. So Dusty Baker, thank you for coming on. Make sure to follow him on his social media pages. I'll have his description listed below. And if you're new to the Incline Dodgers podcast, welcome aboard. We're going to be talking trade deadline for the rest of the week and a half or so. We've got actually some more exciting guests lined up, so stay tuned for that. Dusty was the one to kick it off. And make sure to subscribe, like the channel. If you're on the audio feed, leave us a review, be a subscriber as well. And if you're watching after the fact, leave something in the comment section of what move you want to see the Dodgers make. So this is Kevin Klein signing out for me and Dusty. Everyone have a
at your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.